declare the fire of God right now burning in each and every one of our lives. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Lord, the blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord. We thank you, Father God. The blessing is working in us and on us and for us and through us in the name of Jesus. Just pray in tongues for a moment. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do today in this service, we just receive your glory. We receive your goodness. We receive the fire of God burning up anything that's not of you, Father. We thank you for the fire of God moving in and through us to the people around us. We thank you, Father, for the healing anointing, the healing, the works of the manifestations of Holy Spirit touching every cell of our body, those here, those watching in the name of Jesus, touching our soul, those things that have been with deep within us that need to have change happen in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for the love of God getting in every part of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor today. Hallelujah. If you agree, say amen. Glory to God. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for the anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying, the power of God. I want you all to be believing with us this service. Be expecting a word that will change your life forever. Be expecting to hear answers. Be expecting a move of God today, right? We want that experience with Holy Spirit, and we are always hungry for that. Praise God. Well, glory to God. If it's your first time, if it's your first time watching, our website is blfc.church. There you can find out more about us, all of our past sermons. You can submit prayer requests. You can submit testimonies. You can access all past video, audio, and Pastor Rodney's and my sermon notes. What a blessing. You can take those notes. You can teach it in your own Bible study. Praise God. You can go over it. Feed on that word. If something's speaking to you in a service, if there's a part that's speaking to you, meditate on that. Go over it again and again and again. This is what causes change in our lives. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. I also want to mention Pastor Rodney's daily devotional. How many of you have been enjoying that devotional? It's on our website. It is on Facebook. You can just go ahead and click on you can click on Facebook. It goes right to the devotional, or you can go to blfc.church under ministries, and the devotional is right there. And it's just it doesn't take long. So it's something to get you jump-started in your day or all throughout the day. It's a word from God. There's a confession and then an action there. And so I just want to encourage you, get on that website every day and hook up with that devotional. Praise God. It's called Light in the Darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be a light? Praise God. We are a light. We have the light in us. Amen. Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. And service starts at 10. So come early, have coffee, fellowship, get to know one another, enjoy. Praise God. You see, we have the drums up here today and the guitar up here. Praise God. With keyboards coming. Amen. Praise God. Chairs are coming. Hallelujah. Yes. Wednesdays, doors open at six. Service starts at 6:30. And so we encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights and come early in fellowship. It's a blessed time. It's a wonderful time to get together during the midweek. Midweek boost, right? Midweek boost. It's good to come together. We have Friday prayer at our house from 9 to 10. And next Sunday, March 1st, is Baby Dedication Sunday. Hallelujah. We're excited. We're going to dedicate our baby, Alice. And if anyone has babies and you want to bring your baby to be dedicated, this is the time. Bring them. God has a word to speak over these children, over the babies. You know, when you come up here, it's not just words, but they're words that are speaking into their future. They're words that they will have with them for the rest of their lives. It's not just some kind of ceremony, but it is intentional. It is intentional. And so we're excited and honored to get to do that. Also, over here by the door, we have a volunteer sign-up sheet. Everyone say volunteer sign-up sheet. Yes. So we, amen. And so we currently have openings for greeters, ushers, video production, which is the media and running all this media. We want to go to live stream. We have the capability for that. And so we want to be able to do that. We just need some volunteers. Even if you don't know how to do it, we can get together and teach you and learn if you have a heart to do the media. We also have volunteer sign up for children and youth ministry and our worship team. So as we were saying, we have the drums, we have the guitar. I thought about trying out the drums today myself, but I didn't quite make it up here, but maybe next time. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class or evangelism, please let us know. And so we want to get that going as well. And so just the things that God's speaking to you, if he's giving you ideas, come talk to us because he wants to, you know, facilitate that in this service. And so I believe that's all the offering or the announcements today, and it's offering time. Praise God. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and I actually have a whole message on this, but this morning I'm just going to read the scripture because I have actually some illustrations and we'll come back to it another time. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax and continue and faint. So notice there is an appointed season for our harvest. Amen. We sow our seed. We're believing God. And there is an appointed season. Sometimes we want it tomorrow or even later today, right? Microwave. And we want it hot and we want it now, right? We got fast food. Everything's fast. You know, the internet, let's go, let's go. But, you know, there's an appointed season with God and things need to line up for that appointed season for the manifestation of our harvest. And so I want to encourage you this morning, those things that you're believing for, homes being sold, children coming to the Lord, your house being paid off, the vehicle, whatever it is in your life, the perfect job, things have to line up. But as we sow our seed, as we're believing God, we don't quit because we know he's faithful. What happens if we quit and walk away and turn and he's trying to work it out? Well, we missed it out. It's not as fast as we always might think, but there are times where it's instant, right? There are times we sow our seed and by the time we get home, there's a change, right? I mean, we believe for those things. And so also it says in verse 10, so then as occasion and opportunity open up to us, occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only because it's useful and profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. It says being mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith. I would say we are the household of faith here, and we're mindful to be a blessing to one another, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a, however the Lord leads us and whatever blessing, you know, we look for that in one another, especially, it says, especially in the household of faith, God's family, the believers. We're God's family and we're Victory Life family church, and we are a family, and you all are such a blessing to be here. We're so grateful for each and every one of you. More people are going to be coming, you know, but I just want to say those of you that are here now, get ready to be a part of what God is doing with this church body, because people are going to be coming. God is doing a great and mighty thing. We're going to see the manifestations of his glory. We're going to see signs. We're going to see wonders. We're going to see miracles. And you all have been here. You all get ready. You have your foot on the ground, your feet in the door already. And we're so thankful for each and every one of you. He has a specific part for each one of you. He has something for you to do. And you're finding your calling in the church. That's how we found our calling. That's how we found each other, in the church, the plan of God in the church. I want you guys to know there's nothing better than the plan of God. There's nothing better than being a part of what God's doing. The world out there is full of junk. It's full of darkness. We don't want to get out in that. We want to be here where we're under the protection of the Most High. We're in the secret place of the Most High. And there we are mindful to be a blessing. So this morning, as you're sowing your seed, Father, I'm sowing this for whatever it is in my life, my children, my furniture, you know, for somebody else. But just know that you sow your seed, you reap your harvest. Also, just a reminder, we're calling in by faith that we have a building of our own. We're thankful for this place here in this season, right? It's only going to last so long. Praise God. But God has a building he's preparing for us. And it's going to have lots of room for growth, classrooms for the children. It's going to have, just like we've always said, the prayer rooms, the fellowship hall, right? We're going to have fellowship dinners. Amen. And also, we have picked out our very nice, comfortable chairs, 42 of them. Kimberly and Zane are sitting in an example of one, but they're even better than that. But that's the pattern there. Praise God. And so, and we can continue to order these in the future. So when we order these chairs, they're not just for here and now, but it's going to last for years till Jesus comes back. Praise God. they're $87 each. The total is $3,480. As the Lord leads to sow, we can sow for 1, 2, 10, 20, a half of one. Did you have something on that?
Yes. Oh. I'm just double checking. Yes. So the, 42 chairs, the total was $36.54. Oh, okay. $17.50 has come in so far. So praise
yes,
the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
God. Thank
so
you all.
Approximately Hallelujah. 20 chairs have come in so far.
Wow.
There's 1904 or 21.88 chairs remaining. So 22 chairs. So praise God. We're just believing that we have those. Again, we have already put the deposit. They're going to be ready here in about, see what's today, the 22nd. They should be ready. They said mid-March. So here the next three, probably 4 weeks tops, we're going to go get those chairs. Amen. And again, I'm going to drive down to Texas and get a trailer and haul them back. Amen. So what will happen here soon so we can all be comfortable. Amen. But you know, I was thinking about this, everything that we're doing and sowing for, it's, you know, in the ministry of helps, you know, we are preparing for the harvest. Harvest is work, right? Harvest is work. Sowing seed is one thing. Harvest is an entirely another thing. When it's harvest season, all hands on deck, right? Amen. This is when you're going out and you're hiring extra help, calling in everybody. Hey, we got to get this in the barn. We got to get it in quick. Amen. So the chairs and all of these things, the ministry of helps, because again, what if 10 kids showed up extra today? You know, are we ready to facilitate the children? Are we ready to greet them and to welcome and all of these things? So again, we're here, you know, finding our place, amen, and making room for others to come in and receive what God has for them, amen. And we believe they're going to find their part, amen. There's musicians coming and all these sorts of things. But that's why we brought the instruments in, you know, and here really soon we're going to get the chairs. And as soon as we get the chairs, we're going to, we've already started looking at what kind of a keyboard do we want to have in here, because we need one. So again, we're believing for the musician, but what good's the musician without the instruments, right? So we're believing in for the appropriate instruments, those things that we need. So these are just things that we're just going to keep, you know, putting before the Lord and allowing him to lead us and bless us. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. But
praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. So if you're giving in the room, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you are writing a check, please write it to VLFC. If you're given by credit card or cash, please fill out your name and your information. If you're given by card, please fill out your address as well. If you're given online, your information's on the screen. And so Let's pray over the offering this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you. You are a good daddy God, and you have good things in store for us here at Victory Life Family Church. We thank you, Father, for the manifestation of the blessing over each and every household. We thank you and declare tithers' rights, and every seed, there is a harvest attached to it. So we will not grow weary in doing right. We know that we're going to reap a harvest because we're not going to give up. Hallelujah. We're not quitters at Victory Life Family Church. No. Yep. Say, I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter.
Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Say, the blessing is working in us.
The blessing is working in us.
On us.
On us.
And for us.
And for us.
The Lord is increasing us.
The Lord is increasing us.
More and more.
More and more.
Us and our children.
Us and our children.
Seed.
Seed.
We speak to you.
We speak to you.
Produce a mighty harvest.
Produce a mighty harvest.
We are getting our building.
We are getting our buildings.
Our land.
Our land.
And all our resources.
And all our resources.
We call every bill paid.
We call every bill paid.
Every need met.
Every need met.
We are furnished in abundance.
We are furnished in abundance.
Angels.
Angels.
Go get our harvest.
Go get our harvest.
And bring it to us.
And bring it to
us.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may receive the offering this morning.
Hallelujah. Ha-ha-ha. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Word is working mightily in us, on us, for us, and through us in Jesus' name. Praise God. We have been sharing here these last few months. Again, going back to September the 10th of last year, sharing and teaching and preaching on the subject of faith. Hallelujah. Now, again, there's really faith in everything that we've been teaching since we've started, and we've taught some faith messages along the way, but we've been in a faith series. Again, we're examining what faith is, how it comes, how to use it, how to stand victoriously on a word of God. Amen. To take that word, to make it your word, and to see it come to pass in your life. Glory to God. And so we have, again, just going through the basic fundamentals of faith. And we've been taking our time, going slow, as we like to do, just teaching. Praise God. But we're like I've shared here last Sunday, we're going to be getting into more preaching of the Word of God. And then Wednesday night, I was going to preach the notes that we didn't get to on Sunday. And we just didn't get any of them because we just, you know, the Lord led us and we just started preaching and sharing. Glory to God. So we do have our notes. Praise God. They're online. They're on the website, vlfc.church/sermons. You can go and print these off. You can pull them up on your tablet, computer, phone, and follow along with us. I would encourage you to do so. Hallelujah. But the title to today's message is Faith That Cannot Be Defeated. Say no defeat. Hallelujah. We are more than overcomers in Christ who loved us. So we're going to go ahead and pray over today's message and we'll get right into it. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And we receive the truth is the eternal living reality. It was, it is, and it will forever be. So, Lord, we're asking you right now by the help of Holy Spirit to breathe on your word today. Holy Spirit, you are here. Jesus said in John 16:13, to lead us and guide us into all truth. So, Lord, we are receiving the truth, whatever we have need of, the things we need to see, to know, to learn, even specific things in our own lives, in our own households, in our own families, we receive truth. Holy Spirit, you are taking those things that which are the Father's that belong to us now in Christ and making it a reality. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for it. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible, hard copy, soft copy, whatever you have, hold it up big. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have our foundation scripture here today is found in Romans chapter 8. Verses 37 through 39. Again, the title to today's message is Faith That Cannot Be Defeated. Cannot be defeated. There is to be no defeat in Christ. Christ has already overcome. Christ is already victorious. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. His victory is my victory. Amen. Now, we're just learning to live from that victory. So again, verse 37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. So I'm not a conqueror in and of myself. I didn't just pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No, no, no. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen. Now, so if I'm going to be a conqueror in Christ, what am I not doing? I'm not looking to me to meet my need. I'm not looking to me to heal myself. I'm not looking for me to do anything. I come to Him first in all things. In all things, I acknowledge Christ. The Word says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, which includes all things, do all in the name of Jesus. I'm to acknowledge Christ, and I'm to act in faith to live my life, and I'm to do it in the name of Jesus. And we taught a series last year, about a year ago now, on the name of Jesus, 12-part series. I would highly encourage you, go back and just renew your mind to the name of Jesus. What the name of Jesus has accomplished. Jesus gave us power of attorney to use His name. And what we know about power of attorney is the name can do anything that person can do. I said the name can do anything that person can do. Now, we know the name of Jesus has been exalted in three places, in the heavens, in the earth, under the earth, now, and He said in the ages to come. There is no name that is higher. You and I have been baptized into Christ, and He says, I've given you my name. We see it in Ephesians 3:14-15. He says, we've been put into the family of God. We are the family of God, but even more, we are joined together. The scripture says, joint heirs with Christ. I not only have the legal right to use that name, but with that right, I have the responsibility to use that name. That's why He said in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed or in action, do all in the name of Jesus. And you have to do that by faith. I have to mix faith with it. I'm not just using the name of Jesus as some sort of a token, you know, that we put on the end of prayer in Jesus' name, amen. This isn't, again, it's just some lucky rabbit's foot. Well, let's just hope and wish and see. No, I'm acting in faith. Understanding the authority that is in that name, understanding that, again, that power of attorney that's been given to me, and I have every right to expect to receive the manifestation of what God has said. Amen? When I'll act in faith, when I'll do what God says, when I will enforce the name of Jesus into a situation, that's why we see in the Great Commission, Mark 16, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Again, this is a commission for every believer. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And now here's what is going to happen. Not if, but when you encounter the devil, here's what you do. In my name, you cast him out. In my name. In my name, go cast him out. Amen. And when you see someone that's sick, amen. Find out how we're going to minister here today. But He says, in my name, you go lay hands on them. In my name. And what's going to happen? You're going to heal them? No. He's going to heal them. Hallelujah. Again, my laying hands is really a point of contact. It's a point of contact. This is the point in which I release my faith. And in Jesus' name, I declare that you are healed, you are whole, you are blessed, you are restored. And what did the word go on to say in verse 20 of Mark 16? They went out preaching the gospel, and the Lord was with them doing what? Confirming his word. I'm not the healer. Hallelujah. I can't heal a fly, even if I wanted to. Right? But Christ in me, the healer in me, he's already healed. He's already made salvation available to the entire planet. And with that, he's made the healing available to the entire planet for whoever will believe it, whoever will receive it by faith. You can have healing. You can have peace. You can have provision. You can have the whole enchilada, right? It's up to you as to how far you want to go with him. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. I think he covered it. Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why has all this been done? Why has this all been made available? Because he loves me. Because he loves me. Because he loves us, he saved us. Because he loves you, he's healed you. Because he's a good daddy, he's provided for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he loves me. Say he loves me. Say my Father loves me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is love in every action. God, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. He doesn't just love you with some measure of love. He is a love being first and foremost. Now, he operates by faith. You and I operate by faith. I don't mean any disrespect, but we are a chip off the block, right? God is love. I'm born of love. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Every seed produces after its own kind. If I'm a son of God, then I'm a son of love, and I'm a love being. But just like Daddy, I operate by faith. I operate the exact same way Father does. The kingdom of God operates, has and always will operate the exact same way, through words of faith. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 10:8, this is the word of faith which we preach. It's the word of faith which we preach. Again, I know faith has gotten a bad rap over the years. A lot of people have thought that faith is this and faith is that, and they had all kind of weird ideas about what it is and what it isn't. You know, it is simply the Bible. It is simply understanding that God himself operates through words of faith. God sees what he wants done on the inside of himself. He uses words to frame this image, and then he speaks it out. Genesis, what do we see? Light be and light was. God saw light on the inside of himself. He chose a word to represent what this is called light. And then he says, light be, and light was. And then he goes on throughout creation doing the exact same thing. He framed the heavens. He framed the earth. He framed everything. Hebrews 1:3 says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything that has come into existence that he created out here, he created it through words. And then he creates you in his image and in his likeness. Again, I'm born of love, but I operate through words of faith. I take a word from God. I meditate on it until I see myself the way God sees me. Again, look at the model Jesus. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. Jesus operated in perfect faith because he did he put first things first. Seek first the kingdom. seek first the Father. Seek first what is the truth concerning this situation. And now how do you want me to walk this out, Daddy? Yeah. God showed him. And Jesus just lived in obedience to the truth. He did it, he said it, and he got perfect results. He's not a one-off. It did not work because he's Jesus. It worked because he was lived in perfect obedience and submission to the Word of God. Number one, to find out what the Word of God is, or what the will of God is in this, in his life and in this situation, and then he acted upon it in faith. And it worked for him, just like it worked for his daddy, just like it works for everybody who stood on the same word doing the exact same way. It worked for the apostles. We see it throughout the book of Acts. It didn't work because they're apostles. It worked because they stuck to it. I heard a word from God, and now I'm going to act on that word in faith. As I see Father do, as I hear Father say, again, not that he's manifesting here in front of you and speaking in an audible voice. No, but through his word and by the leading of his Holy Spirit, you'll have something that'll just come up to your mind and you'll see yourself, yeah, I'm laying hands on this person and I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And so you just go over to him and say, hey, you know, the Lord showed me, you know, and whatever it is, just start acting upon that word. You'll just have an unction and leading and impression. I need to pray right now. I need to do this. I need to go there. I just need to go bless them with $20. Whatever it is. Amen. He'll show you those things. Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Ha-da-ha. Ha-ra-brash-ti-kom-bra-ish-ti. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth. Again, we've been looking at these last few weeks in Colossians 1, 13, 14. Let's just turn over there. I didn't put it in our notes. I referenced it. But let's just turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Let's put our eyes on it. We're going to read it again. Thank you, Jesus. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In whom? Say, in whom? In him. In Christ. When we see this in him, in whom, we understand that this is in Christ. Glory to God. So again, not of myself, but in him or in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. So again, we have been transferred out of darkness. All that has tried to hold on to us from the past, we understand that in Christ, in whom, at the moment of the new birth, at the point of salvation, that was broken. That connection to your spirit man was eternally broken. You died the death of the cross with Christ. You were buried with Christ, and now you've been raised with Christ. Right? I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Looking at this, this means that the enemy is no longer in jurisdiction. Again, we're talking about a legal term. He has no jurisdiction in your life. He has no authority to come and put sickness and disease or any effects of sin on your life unless you allow it. But he doesn't have the authority to do it. He has no authority. He has been defeated. In open combat, Jesus whooped him. Whooped him. Amen. Just good old whooping. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Again, darkness has no authority over our minds, over our families, our futures, our bodies, our destinies, in no way, shape, or form. No, no, no. Again, we've been transferred into the kingdom, and we now operate from a kingdom of heaven reality as a kingdom citizen in the earth. Glory to God. So again, the kingdom, in the kingdom, victory is nothing that you ever merit. Everything in the kingdom does not operates by faith through grace. Everything in the kingdom will always operate by faith in his grace. or you could say grace through faith, whichever. But grace has provided it. Faith takes it. How did you get saved? I believed in the good news that Jesus took all of my sin. He bore all of this for me. I did nothing. Jesus did everything. So how did I get saved? I had faith in the grace of God towards me. And I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I was born again. I was a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now, how did you get healed? Same way. I just look, we're still at the cross. We're still at Calvary. I just look over and I walk around the backside of that cross and I observe the stripes on Jesus' back. And I say, and I look over here in 1 Peter 2:24 that says, oh yeah, and by his stripes, you were healed. So how did I get healed? I had faith in the word of God, seeing that his stripes were bore for me at Calvary, that I should no longer be subject to sin, sickness, or disease, or any of its effects. That's not mine. In the kingdom, I've been transferred out of sickness and disease. I've been transferred into divine healing. Amen. Praise God. How do I walk in divine healing? I have faith in God. I have faith in what he has said. I have faith in what the blood and the body has accomplished for me, and I exalt the truth. I magnify the truth above this body. And I say, nobody, you're not in charge here. You're not in charge here. The word of God, I exalt it. I magnify the truth above this body. And I declare in Jesus' name, body, you're healed. You are whole right now in the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Let's all say it together. In the name of Jesus. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I am healed, I am whole, for by his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you need to tell sickness and disease where to go. Tell it where to go. You don't belong to me. This pain, this whatever may be going on, speak to it. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, I command you to take your hands off of God's property, be removed, be cast out into the sea, never to return. Again, Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in what he has said. Have faith in what he has accomplished. Have faith in his grace towards you. Have faith. He told Thomas, stop being faithless. Have faith. Well, I'll only believe if I can see it. Well, you'll never get healed on Thomas' faith, right? You get healed on Jesus' faith. Glory to God. Have faith in God. Have faith in what he has said. Declare, I am healed. Declare, I am whole, and declare the days of defeat are over forever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are more than conquerors. Again, looking at Romans 8:37, hear this phrase, we are more than conquerors. Again, you can read this in English and you're thinking, okay, well, what really does that mean? You know, it sounds good, and I think I maybe have an idea, but we're going to go back to the Greek and look at this. And that phrase is really, it's this word, hupernikao. It means to gain a decisive victory. Amen. You know, Jesus won a decisive victory. You know, there is no chance of the devil ever rising up and say, you know what, I think I can whoop Jesus and I've got the power to do it. No, he does not. He has no power. He has no authority. He has already been decisively defeated. Jesus has decisively won. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. And again, whatever Jesus won, he did it not just for himself, but for you and I. He won it for us. It also means to completely and overwhelmingly conquer. It means to more than conquer. I like this. It means to vanquish. I just like that. That just vanquish. It's like that's not just a whooping. I have completely. This also means to annihilate. You are annihilated. You are vanquished. You are no more. You know, I was meditating on this and I remembered, you know, when the Israelites came out of the 40 years in the wilderness and they crossed over, what's the first place they come to? Jericho. Jericho was the first place they came to, and they had huge walls. Remember, they're giants in the land.
Yeah.
They had not just, you know, an 8 or 10 foot wall. They had huge walls, and they were thick walls. This wasn't just meant to keep ordinary sized folks out of here. You know, they had, you know, we see here, and they had spied out the land. They said, there's giants in the land. You know, again, even from the years later, we'll still see, you know, obviously with Goliath, you know, 9 or 10 foot tall, and he wasn't a one-off. He had family. They were all giants. There was a whole tribe of giants, right? So again, they had these huge, massive walls, and God just has them go and march around the city 7 days and praising and blowing the trumpets and all this. And at the end of it, the walls fall down. The walls fall down. And what happens to this city? Well, obviously Rahab, whoever was in her house, you know, she helped them. And actually she ends up being in the lineage, great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Amen. Because she acted in faith. She's in the lineage of faith. She acted by faith. But only her and her household was saved. Everybody else, man, woman, child, everybody else in that city was put to the sword and died. Every single one of them, they were vanquished. They were more than conquered. They are no more. There's never been any mention from then till now of the Jerichoites, right? They don't exist. They were wiped out on that day, completely annihilated. Again, more than conquered. Again, when you see, when we see the devil, just think of Jericho. His stronghold was demolished. He was completely defeated to the point he can never come back.
Right.
He can never come back. He is that thoroughly vanquished in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. So again, the battle is already won in Christ. We only need to walk out the victory that Christ has given us. Again, we never fight for victory. I fight from victory. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Right now in the Spirit, Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3, go read it. You have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Well, if I'm seated at the right hand of majesty on high, now in the Spirit, Jesus said, the earth is my footstool. What is he saying? All of this is already under my feet. Well, if it's under Christ's feet and you're in Christ, Christ is in you, it's under your feet. Now you put it there. You keep it there. You are here to enforce what Christ has already won. He won it, but he can't enforce it for you. You have to do that for yourself. You are a free moral agent. You get to decide every day, I'm either going to enforce the victory that I have in Christ, or I'm going to lay down all these weapons of my warfare and my spiritual armor, and I'm just going to live as a mere man. That's what happened over in Ephesians. Go look at Ephesians chapter 4, picking up about verse 17. Paul calls them out on the carpet. There had been great signs, wonders, miracles. I mean, a huge revival had taken place in Ephesus. And now Paul's writing back to him, you let your faith go. You've turned loose, and now you're turned around and you're living as mere men. Living as mere man. And he says, no, it's time for you to put on Christ. Putting back on. You took these things off, now put them back on. And then he sums it up over in Ephesians 6. Now finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes through the armor. You need to put on the helmet of salvation, put on your breastplate of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've got on my loin belt of truth. Amen. I'm not turning loose of this truth. And now we're taught, have our shield of faith. We got our sword of the Spirit, our gospel shoes of peace. Put it all on and have it done all to stand. Just stand. Amen. Glory to God, because the victory is already yours. But you're going to have to stand for it. You're going to have to contend. You're going to have to contend. But know the final outcome is already decided.
Right.
The final outcome is already decided. I can read in here and I can know the end. I can see the end. I'm healed. I can see the end. My needs are met. I can see the end. I have perfect peace. I can see the end. I am delivered from all of this junk. All of the things that have been in my past that have been trying to hang on, to hold back, to weigh me down, I can see the end. I'm delivered from it. I'm free from it. Hallelujah. Now, all I have to do is, by faith, accept and receive that grace.
Yeah.
This is mine. This belongs to me. I'm already more than a conqueror in Him, not in self. This is not a self-help book.
Right.
This is a victory in Christ book. Glory to God. I'm not fighting for the victory. I'm fighting from victory. I'm standing in the victory that is already mine in Christ. It makes all the difference in the world, all the difference in the world between actually overcoming or being tossed to and fro. It makes all the difference. And it could be just a very subtle shift in your thinking. I'm not doing anything with Christ's help. I'm doing everything in Christ through the victory He's already won.
Yeah.
And now I'm just simply resting. I'm resting. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us to labor to enter into His rest. The work of the believer today is simply that. We labor to enter into His rest. What does that simply mean? I'm standing on the Word of God, and I'm trusting that the Word of God and the Word alone is what's going to get me over, not me. I'm not getting me over. My only job is to believe and have faith in God and declare and agree with Him in every way, shape, and form. Whatever He says, I'm holding fast to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's nothing else to consider. There's nothing else to talk about, think about. There's nothing else that needs to be coming out of my mouth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. More than a conqueror. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, again, before a situation ever arises, before you even heard about this thing coming along, the outcome is already decided. So again, we live here in Nebraska, and I was imagining, you know, our Husker football team. Hey, man, go Huskers. Go Big Red. But, you know, they play here in Lincoln, Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. And I've not attended a football game. Maybe one day we will. We'll see. But, you know, I was imagining, okay, we're walking into Memorial Stadium, and you're getting there, you know, before the game. Maybe you went and tailgated and made you some hot dogs or something. But now you're going into the stadium and people are starting to file in and you're taking your seat and you look up at the scoreboard and you say, huh, Huskers 100, Ohio State 0. Well, the game, you know, you're checking your watch. Okay, I'm early for the game. What's going on? That's Christ. That's you in Christ. Before the battle ever begins, the outcome is already overwhelmingly decided. Ohio State has been vanquished. Whatever team you want to put there. They have been vanquished. They are no more. They have been soundly, thoroughly defeated. Right? In Christ. Amen. So I hope this helps somebody. Maybe this is helping somebody. Amen. Thoroughly, soundly defeated before the game ever starts, you've already won. You haven't just won by a slim margin. You've overwhelmingly won. The devil's got nothing. You got everything. The devil has nothing. He's a big goose egg. He has nothing. My healing is complete. Not just 98, 99%. No, it's 100% complete. I don't have to live with even a trace of sickness and disease. I don't have to live with any part of lack in my life or in my body. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, because everyone born of God. Are you born of God? Yes. They what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So again, when we're talking about this word of faith, we're talking about the Bible. What overcomes? The Bible says it's your faith that overcomes. Your faith is what overcomes. Now, I'm not giving glory to my faith. I give all glory to God, but I'm placing faith in the victory that He's won. Faith, remember, is the currency of the kingdom. Faith is what makes the divine exchange with what grace has provided. Amen. So again, faith is the currency by which I made the exchange to receive my salvation. Everything else is going to come the exact same way. So again, what overcomes the world? Your faith. Now again, faith is not trying to get victory. Faith is just receiving. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my peace. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I believe I receive what grace has provided for me. So again, this is why Paul writes over in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If I can see it in the Word, if I can renew my mind to what is actually mine in Christ and not be conformed to the world, sin, sickness, disease, all of its effects, poverty and lack and, you know, ungodly soul ties and ungodly this. If I can renew my mind to that's not me, if I can renew my mind to as a kingdom citizen, as a son and daughter of God, if I can renew my mind to I'm blessed in Christ, then by faith I can receive it. By faith, I can receive it. This is why we read our Bibles. This is why pastors writing that devotional every day. It's just another tool in the toolbox. All of this is something to give you a word every day that you can stand on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we're renewing our minds to see who we are, what we have, what we can do now that we're in Christ, so that we can live out of that victory that He has given us. Glory to God. This word overcome is very simpler, very similar to the word hupernikao, and actually it's the root word of it. So again, they're closely joined together. This word overcome is the word nikao. Again, huper is a compound word where we saw more than conquerors, right? But through faith, we overcome. Through faith, we conquer and we receive it. This word overcome means to conquer, to prevail, to subdue, to gain mastery. Again, it's the root word of hupernikao, which means, again, looking at this in context, in Christ, you're not barely winning. You are already overwhelmingly victorious. And I love this here. It says, who is the qualifying person in here? Everyone who believes. Everyone. Well, that's you. That's me. Well, I just got saved, 5 minutes ago. Wonderful. You're just as victorious as I am. You're just as victorious as Jesus is because you're in Him and He's in you. Now just renew your mind. Renew your mind because in Christ, you've already overcome. Everyone born of God. Everyone born of God. So again, victory is not earned. It is inherited. Glory to God. Again, overcoming is not an achievement. Again, it's not something you've earned. It's not something you've done. Well, I attended church and I gave and I did this and I did that. Well, I guess you qualify for some healing today. No, you got healing because you're in Christ. Again, overcoming is not an achievement. It's an identity. in which we take our stand of faith in. I stand by faith in my identity in Christ. Ha ha ha. This next phrase, this is the victory. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes our faith. Again, faith is the believer's participation in Christ's finished work. By faith, I participate in the victory that Christ gave me. Again, we mentioned this, but faith does not create the victory. Your faith does not create victory. Your faith receives the victory that Christ won. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This next phrase here believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So again, this is looking to the foundation of overcoming is not my effort. It is revelation of who Jesus is and who I am in him. It's a revelation of who Jesus is and who I am in him. I need to see that Jesus is victorious. And when I can see that he is victorious, I need to see myself in him as a joint heir, sharing in that victory life. I'm sharing in the victory life that is Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we are Victory Life Family Church. We are living in victory. I mean, when you see that, I know we have that on our sign. That's our slogan, living in victory. We are Victory Life. Why? Because I'm just simply resting in the victory that is already mine. And now I'm just by faith living in it. I'm walking in it. Thank you, Jesus, for my victory. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise is really the highest form of faith. Praise is the highest form of faith because what am I doing? I thank you, Lord, that you're so good, that you're so big. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. This so-called mountain out here, it's a molehill in my eyes. It's not even there in my eyes. I see you high and far above. I see you where you are. At the right hand of the Father, all of this is under your feet, and I see me in you and you in me, and all this is under my feet. I have now a kingdom heaven perspective of how this needs to go. Right? And when I have that understanding of who he is and who I am in him, this is easy. I'm resting. I'm just resting. Ha, ha, ha. Devil? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Laugh at him. Oh, he hates that. He is full of pride, and oh, he just hates that. So, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. So, again, the God kind of faith does not fight for victory. It fights from victory. Oh, that's so much better. That's so much better. Glory to God. Christ's triumph is so complete that the outcome is predetermined before any battle ever begins. Again, it's 100-0 on the scoreboard. The battle hasn't even come, but it's already won. It's already won. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Living the God kind of faith. We're going to wrap up here, but I want to share this last point with you. And it's living in the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is really rooted in these four unshakable realities. Number one, Christ has already qualified you. You didn't qualify you. Christ did. We shared this over in Colossians. We open with this, and let's go to Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks. So here's the appropriate response to what grace has provided is to give thanks. Again, if you earned, if you merited, then there's really no reason to give thanks. It would just simply pay me what you owe me. God is not indebted to you or anybody else, but he's made it all available through grace. Amen. And we receive it by faith. And so since it's by faith, he says in Colossians 1:12, give thanks. Give thanks to the Father who has, past tense, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Christ qualified you. The Father qualified you in Christ. You were an unworthy. You were an unrighteous. You were a sinner headed for hell. But God, in His great love with which He loved us, praise God, He qualified you in Christ. So when we say we're qualified in Christ, I'm qualified to be a partaker of all the grace. I'm qualified to not just one day get to go to heaven. I'm qualified to live in days of heaven on the earth right now. I'm qualified to walk in the blessing. I'm qualified to live in divine peace. I'm qualified to live in divine healing. I'm qualified. First and foremost, I'm qualified.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn over quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe we need to look at this today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the help of Holy Spirit. He's helping us all the time, and we're tuning in better and better. Huh? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He, your Father, made Him, Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." In Him, I'm qualified. In Him, I've been made righteous. Now, what does this mean? It means that no matter what I may, whatever's going on, you you're going to miss it in your flesh. But remember, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit man. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a physical body. The real you, the eternal you, is your spirit man. And in the spirit, you were made a new creation. In the spirit, you were made the righteousness of God. And so what does this mean? I can come before boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, you come boldly to the throne of grace. We see this also in Hebrews chapter 10. Because of the blood of Jesus, I can come running into the throne room without a sense of guilt, shame, inferiority, condemnation. Why? Because I've been qualified. I've been qualified in Christ. I've been washed in the blood, and I can come boldly to Daddy no matter what has happened. And I can receive mercy. I can receive grace. I can receive restoration. I'm qualified in Christ. Ha, ha, ha. Number one, you have to know you're qualified. If you don't know you're qualified in Christ, you can't receive anything from Him. You have to know I've been qualified. You have to know I've been made righteous. Hallelujah. Not just a forgiven old sinner. No, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm just as righteous as Jesus is because that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. The only way I can be unrighteous is for Christ to be unrighteous. He is the head. I am His body. We are one.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Again, four unshakable realities. Number two, we touched on this. The blood has already secured my victory. The blood of Jesus has already secured my victory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We were out there in Colossians. Verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness," which is really the remission of sin. Sin has been remitted. It has been removed from your life as though it has never happened. Aha, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Aha. Number three, His weapons have already empowered you to win every battle. So again, we talked about this earlier, the armor of God. We put it all on, and we live in that place. Number one, the helmet of salvation. I am saved. You need to know my salvation is assured. You know, I missed it this morning. Am I saved? Well, I don't know. No, you need to know I am saved. Put on the helmet of salvation and be settled in that place. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Ha, ha, ha. I'm in the family of God. I am a child of God. God knew you're going to make a mess just like any other child does. but you're still my child. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. I still love you. I'm still here to help you. So when you have a problem, don't run from daddy, run to daddy. He's here for you. His weapons have already empowered you to win every battle, so put it on. Put on your righteousness. Put on your gospel shoes of peace and the loin belt of truth. Amen. Ha ha. His triumph, number four, his triumph has already made you more than a conqueror. So again, I'm not trying to get the victory. You need to understand victory is already mine. Healing is already mine. I'm not trying to say, well, I've got cancer, I've got arthritis, I've got. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. That's not yours. You were delivered from that. Now, he's trying to put these lying symptoms on you to try to get you to agree with it. And as long as you agree with it, he's going to kill you. That's what he's here to do. That's what Jesus said it. John 10:10, the thief. Now notice the language Jesus calls him. He calls him a thief. Why does he call him a thief? He could have said he could have said he's a murderer. Well, he is, but he's a thief. He can't just come and murder you. He can't just come and kill you. He's a thief. What does a thief do? A thief steals. What is he stealing? The word. If he can steal the truth about who you are, what you have, what you can do now that you're in Christ, now he is empowered through your mouth to do it. So again, the thief comes but to do three things: steal, kill, destroy. If he can steal the truth, he is licensed now to kill and to destroy, either through ignorance, or laziness, whichever it might be. If he can steal the truth and keep you from walking in the truth, he can now kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, how are you going to live that abundant life? Recognizing the victory is already mine. Jesus, you've already overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith doesn't guess the outcome. It knows the outcome. Faith looks up and sees that scoreboard 100-0. That's what it sees. It sees the devil has nothing, and it sees that in Christ I've got everything, and I've already won it. Glory to God. I was thinking about this here, looking at how many have ever built a puzzle, right? Puzzles are fun. Amen. Hallelujah, as long as you're not missing a piece. Yeah. Imagine looking at a puzzle box. You got a brand new puzzle. You look at the picture and, oh, this is a beautiful picture. Maybe it's a nice mountainous picture or rivers or something like that. So again, you're looking at this picture, but when you're putting the puzzle together, you're not trying to take all these pieces without the picture and trying to figure out, how am I going to put this together? How's it going to look? No, faith is simply looking at what is already finished, and now it's just walking this thing out. It's just simply putting together and receiving the entire picture of what Christ has provided for you through his word. So when I look at by his stripes I'm healed, I'm just looking to the end of my faith, and I'm saying, yes, I am healed. I am whole. I'm not looking at my body to tell me what truth is. I'm looking to the word to tell me what the truth is. And this is where I keep my eyes fixed. This is where I keep my eyes fixed. I'm not considering, again, Abraham 99, Sarah's 90. And what did they do? The scripture says in Romans 4, they considered not their own bodies. They didn't consider, hey, Sarah, you've been barren your whole life, even when you were young. Now you're old, you're well past the age. I'm 99, you're 90. He says they did not consider that. They considered God. They considered the word of God. And what happened? They received the end of their faith. Why? They kept their eyes on the prize. Hallelujah to Jesus. And they received it. Thank you, Jesus. That's why the scripture calls him the father of faith. Again, that's just a model for us to follow. I love this. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks. There we are again. But thanks. Again, this is not, God, you owe me because I did this or that. No, I just give thanks. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph as captives in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in Christ. In Christ, He's leading me in victory. In Christ, He is leading you in victory today. Are you listening? Are you tuned into His voice? Are we hearing what He has to say? Or are we being conformed to this world, living as mere men? We decide. Amen. But here, we are walking out that victory triumphantly every time. John 16, 33, this is Jesus. I have told you these things that in me, say in Him, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Take courage. I've overcome the world. But I love this. I've told you these things so that in me, not just with His help, in me. So again, this is the Last Supper. He's giving these final instructions to His disciples. He's saying, here's what's about to happen. In me, you're going to have perfect peace. In me, I need you to recognize I've already overcome the world. Peter, James, John, y'all don't have to go out here and overcome anything. I've done it. But you do need to recognize it and walk in the light of it. Glory to God. Next chapter, John 17, 16 through 19. This is all part of the same conversation. He's praying for His disciples now, but not just the disciples, but for you and us too. He says, they are not of the world. Say, I'm not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, sanctify them. That word sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify or set them apart by the truth. By the truth. By the truth. That truth, again, we're talking about eternal living reality. Thy word is truth. Sanctify, set them apart by truth. So just think about this. I'm taking truth, and the truth is setting me apart. This goes right back to John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know, you will have revelation knowledge. You will come to understand. You'll come to see this the way I see it. The way God and I see this, you're going to see it that same way. He says, you're going to come to know the truth, and then what's going to happen? Jesus said, the truth will set you free. It will deliver you from the darkness that has tried to hang on to you. It will deliver you from the effects of sin. It will deliver you from sickness and disease. You're going to come to know it. This doesn't just happen because you read a scripture one time. No, this comes by meditation. This comes by spending time, renewing the mind. And now I know it. I know it. This isn't just so-and-so's word. This isn't pastor's word. No, this is my word. This is who I am in Christ. I have revelation knowledge of this, and now I am free. Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. There's nothing else to consider. There is but one truth. You understand, in eternity, there's one truth. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. Your truth, my truth, what is truth? Guess what, Pilate, you know, Jesus is in there, you know, being interrogated by him. And then Peter responds, you know, Pilate responds, well, what is truth? The whole world's asking the same thing today. What's truth? There's no truth. Your truth, my truth, you know. No, there is truth. In all things, there is an absolute. There is an eternal absolute. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. There is one truth. Amen. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Let's all say this together. I have also been sent into the world. Amen. So Jesus wasn't just the one sent. We're all been sent. Glory to God. He is the great shepherd. We are His sheep. And He says, I'm sending y'all out into the world. For them, I sanctify myself so that they too may be sanctified by the truth. So he's sending us out into this world, but recognizing I've already overcome the world for you. You're not here to overcome this world. I'm now sending you out to enforce the victory that I have won. I'm sending you out as an ambassador to enforce what I have won. I'm sending you out to bring heaven to the earth. Again, when he says, go lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, that's bringing heaven to the earth. Yeah. That's bringing divine healing where it was sickness and disease. What are we doing? So what happens? Sickness and disease is the enemy occupying kingdom territory. That's what it is. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, 20, says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I was in Jerusalem a couple months ago, and I saw, you know, the old temple there and you know, different remains of it and what has been built. God's not there. He's not in the temple. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn top to bottom. Holy Spirit moved out. He says, I'm no longer confined to this one place. My home is now in each of you. He says, so now the temple of God is you and I. He says, now glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when sickness and disease tries to come on your body, what is it really doing? It's invading the Holy of Holies. It's invading the Holy of Holies. This is the dwelling place of God. The kingdom of darkness ought not exist in the kingdom of God. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Enforce the victory Christ has won. Thank you, Jesus. Again, an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are an ambassador for Christ. We are an ambassador for Christ. So again, thinking about an ambassador, ambassadors do not speak their own opinion. You're not here to declare your good ideas and intentions and how maybe you think things ought to go. No, I'm sanctified by truth. I'm set apart by truth. I live according to truth. Again, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Jesus said it himself, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, or you could say every truth that proceeds from the mouth of God. As an ambassador, I live by every truth that proceeds from the mouth of God. And now he's given me all of the victory. I'm now here to enforce that victory as an ambassador of Christ. Again, I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. I'm of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness. There is a God of this world. His name is Satan. I'm not subject to his kingdom. Jesus said, I'm in the world. I'm not of it. I didn't come to take you out of this world. Not yet. I put you into this world to be an ambassador. I put you in here to preach the gospel. I put you in here so that you would be a living epistle, an ensign, an example, a living testimony to the goodness of God so that others can be snatched out of hell, so they can be saved, so they can be free, so that they can win others. Amen. Glory to God. Again, an ambassador, they do not consider the nation that they're in. They're not subject to its laws. They're not subject to its authority. They're subject to the nation that sent them. Who pays their salary? The nation that sent them. Who's providing everything for them? The nation that sent them. All of the authority of an ambassador. An ambassador carries the authority of the head of state or the king or president that sent them. All of the authority, the backing of that nation, they carry with them. Now, who sent you? Who sent you? Jesus. All of the authority of heaven. All of the power, all of the backing, all of the healing, all the provision you could ever need lives resonant on the inside of you. We need to renew our minds and see ourselves. All of heaven, all of the power, all of heaven's reserves are at my call. If I will declare what God has said, he will enforce it. That's why he put it in the book. So you would believe it, so that you would say it, so that he could do it. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to perform his word. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I watch over my word to perform it. I want to do this, but I need you to enforce it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we're never fighting to overcome, but we are simply standing, speaking, and overcoming from a finished work. In Christ, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. Praise God, and we overcome. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to close with this today. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For everyone or whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, Jesus did everything that was required for salvation. And again, we're talking about more than a conqueror. He just simply said, everyone, anybody who will call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I don't care who you are, where you're from, how big you think your mess is. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Again, Saul of Tarsus, he was out murdering Christians. And God got a hold of him, got him saved, and he ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. If he could save a murderer, and not just any murder, you're out murdering the body of Christ. If he could save him, you're not beyond salvation. Glory to God. And all you've got to do is what Saul of Tarsus did, later renamed the Apostle Paul. Lord, is that you? Tell me what to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I confess you now as the resurrected King. Come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to the scripture that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God, and you are a son or daughter of the Most High, and you right now are more than a conqueror in him. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. Wednesday night, we'll be back here. Doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. Come early for coffee, fellowship. Praise God. And again, next Sunday, 10 o'clock, pre-service prayer at 9:20. Praise God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.